Thank you for joining me today. I want to talk to you this morning about why we believe the Bible is the Word of God. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, Peter says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Vine says that this word answer is a verbal defense, a speech in defense. In Acts 25 and verse 16, Paul responded, "I answered them, it is not the custom of the Romans to deliver any man to destruction before the accused meets his accusers face to face and has opportunity to answer for himself concerning the charge against him." Paul gave an example there in a sense of what we're talking about. But we need to be, we need to be able to tell people why we believe what we believe in the scriptures. And we need to be able to look to the scriptures for our answers. Paul again says in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 3, "My defense to those who examine me is this," and he gave the scriptures. Again, we look at the word defense, and it consists of reason, which supports one's hope. Like we read in Hebrews 11 and verse 1, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." And Paul mentions in Romans 10 and verse 17, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." What we're talking about is telling why you believe what you believe. And I might suggest that we have scripture to back up why we believe what we believe. So the question is, why do you believe the Bible is the Word of God, a special divine revelation? Why so many in the past and even the present today believe in traditions of their parents or traditions of their particular faith? Why so many today look at sociological factors like race or nationality? And you've heard it all your life, because the Bible says so. Yes, but why? And that's a valid reasoning for the process. We have a subject, we have evidence, we have logic, and we have a judgment. Is there sufficient evidence to support the Bible's claim and our belief in it? If there is, then that evidence provides basis for your faith, like Hebrews 11 and verse 1 suggests. If there's not, then we don't believe it. So the proposition is this: the Bible is a special divine revelation. The special part of it is that it is opposite of general revelation. General means what we can know of God through nature, indirectly revealing something about God. Paul states in Romans 1 and verse 20, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." We can look at nature and see, just like the sun shining and the wind blowing the leaves and the trees, we can look at that and see that God has created it. The special aspect of this is what God directly makes known to man. Paul states in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 10 and 11, that God has revealed them to us through His Scripture. Through His Spirit. "For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God." Paul's talking about our understanding of the Scriptures as they have been revealed. And what we need to understand is that this is divine. This revelation is divine. It comes from God and not man. It is a product of deity, not some human genius somewhere. We look at Galatians chapter 1, beginning in verse 11, and Paul says, "I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not according to man, for I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ." He says here it didn't come from some human instrumentality, not human origin. He goes on in another passage in Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse 3, and says how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, that is, God made known to him, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. And the revelation that we're talking about is an unveiling, an uncovering by God. It's not something that man can discover, but only that which God can reveal. We go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, and we read there again where Paul says, as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. So let's make a brief examination of the claims that the Bible makes. The investigation of the Bible's internal evidences, circular reasoning, or the logical place to start, is what we want to talk about. There is a word called modernist, and that's using the Bible to prove the Bible is assuming what must be proven. I know that sounds like a lot. But instead, what we're talking about is investigating and testing the ground of its claim. I mean, it's like somebody might say that there's oil in the land and then there's not, so they have to move on to the next state. If insufficient evidence exists to support the claim, then the Bible is patently false. In other words, if it cannot prove itself, and it fully does. If evidence is sufficiently strong, and it does, and I believe that it does, then it compels us to believe its claims. Just like drilling for oil, it's either a dry hole, or it's going to be natural gas, or you're going to strike oil. God verbally revealed himself to man through the Word of God. In 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 21, it uses that phrase, the Word of God. And throughout the Old Testament, it is used over 3,800 times. In Deuteronomy 18, verses 18 and 19, God used the prophets of old to speak his words. So the process here is that God, through his Spirit, used the prophets to deliver his words. We see that in passages like Zechariah 7. Peter spoke of it in chapter 1 of his second letter. And in Matthew chapter 10, we see that Jesus speaks of it there. So God's revelation of himself has been recorded throughout inspired scripture. And Paul tells us about that scripture in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16, that all scripture is given by inspiration of God, or God breathed, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And he says again in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 37, if anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. Again, Peter would talk about this in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 23 through 35. So, as I mentioned when we talked about 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16, that all scripture is given by inspiration of God, the Greek word there is God breathed for inspiration. Scripture is the breath of his mouth, according to Psalm 33 and verse 6. And Peter talks about in 2 Peter 1, verses 20 and 21, that it is not of human explanation or origin. He agrees with Paul. But we have God's revelation today. It's called the Bible. Peter says in 1 Peter 1, verses 23 through 25, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever, because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word by which the gospel was preached to you. So I've got a question for you. And you may be asking this question of yourself right now, or of me as you listen. Does it matter? Does it matter what we believe? Does it matter if the Bible is true or not? Yes, absolutely. If you want a strong faith, then you have to believe that your faith is based upon evidence, not hearsay, not something that man has made up, not some conjecture, and definitely not blind assumption. Remember Hebrews 11 and verse 1? It talks about the definition of faith. In Romans 10 and verse 17, that faith comes by hearing. Again, the answer is yes. If you want to follow God, then you cannot follow man. And Peter talks about this again in 2 Peter 1, verses 16 through 21. And he rests his case upon evidence. In verse 16 there, he would talk about eyewitness testimony, which he was an eyewitness of Christ. In verses 17 through 18, he talks about the Father's voice that had led them to follow Christ. You remember at Jesus' baptism, he spoke through the Spirit who appeared in the form of a dove and said, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." Peter went on in verses 20 and 21 and talked about the inspired explanation and origin of prophecy. In verse 19, he said this was an assurance of faith. The answer again, does it matter? Yes. If you want to be ready to give an answer for your hope that we read in 1 Peter 3 and verse 15. I hope that you are. I hope that if someone asks you what they must do to go to heaven, you can give them what the Bible says and not what some man's religion says. You see, Paul was ready to do that. He stated in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 17, "If then you count me as a partner, receive him as you would me." Acts 17, verses 2 and 3, "Then Paul, as his custom was, went into them, and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, 'This Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ.'" And again, a few chapters later in the book of Acts, chapter 19, verse 8, we read again that he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. Can you do that? You must be able to give an answer for the hope that lies within you. We must be able to do that. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 21, it says, "Test all things, hold fast what is good." Are you able to do that? Can you give an answer for the hope that lies within you? A scriptural answer, not what some denominational doctrine teaches, which is going to be based upon man's theories. The evidence that we consider from the Bible for its divine inspiration is unity and style, fulfilled prophecy, scientific foreknowledge, and historical reliability. You know, when you think about it, the archaeologists that go about digging in the dirt trying to find traces of old people and old things and old civilizations that are no longer with us are confirming what the Word of God says. And then we will have to assess the evidence and see how we can use it. And I want you in this lesson and others to know why you can be sure that the Bible is the verbally inspired Word of God. That is to strengthen your faith and equip you to give answers for your hope. I want to thank you for being with me this morning. Again, if you have any questions or disagree with this, feel free to contact me. Bring your Bible and we'll sit down and have a cordial discussion of God's Word. I'd encourage you to join us next Sunday morning beginning at 9 a.m. We'll start with a Vacation Bible School series. It will go through from Sunday morning through Wednesday night. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday will be at 7 p.m. on a regular times on Sunday. Again, thank you for being with me.